My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. All right, glad you're with us. Well, you know, what did we tell you on this program as it relates to what the Democrats had planned if they got control of the House and the Senate? Thank God. I'm going to tell you something. Thank God the president went out there and the president fought hard as he did to keep the Senate. Although, if the Democrats really want to go down the impeachment road that they say they do over what we went over it yesterday, there's nothing to impeach him over. The person that we should be investigating, those people, those investigations, hopefully with a new attorney general, are going to progress. Number one, Pelosi needs to handle all of these. White House, by the way, formally invites leaders for shutdown talks. They don't want a deal. The president, they've already offered to help the children, DACA, Dreamers. They've offered all of those things. We have played Democrats repeatedly on this program and on Hannity, the TV show. We have played them so often, sounding just like Donald Trump when it comes to immigration. But now because Donald Trump wants it and they're so fixated on hating Donald Trump, well, now they don't want any part of it. Okay, then keep the government closed. It's not going to be that big a deal. A lot of people are trying to get me to get involved in this GoFundMe campaign for the border wall. I'm not supporting the GoFundMe. Look, if you want to do it, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you why. The government has enough of our money. They don't need any more of our money to build the wall. It's infinitesimal, the amount of money that we are talking about here, that they need. It's 0.3% of the budget. And with all the waste, fraud, and abuse of government, why can't they do their job and protect and secure our borders? You know, think of this officer that was killed, gunned down over the weekend. 5-month-old son. Okay, well, another case, just like we had a dozen people last year, another case where an illegal immigrant in the justice system that should have been deported is, because of sanctuary policies, let back out and then commits more crimes because we didn't enforce the law. The state doesn't enforce the law. Nobody enforces the law. And they kill this father of a 5-month-old kid. Now, if they're not going to fund the wall and they're going to continue to have open borders and they want to eliminate ICE, and it's a non-starter what the Democrats are saying, then I say fine. Let the fight continue. For as long as they want it to continue, I'm all for it. And I don't think any of you are going to notice that a national park is shut down. And if it's shut down, I'm sorry you can't see your national park. But essential services continue. Homeland Security is up and running. Our military is on duty. We have mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. They're getting their Social Security checks. Medicare is up and running. These are non-essential services. I'm sorry for the people that are furloughed. I know it probably feels bad to be called non-essential, but I support all of them, even getting their back pay, which they usually get as part of any deal that is made. I don't want them. They're victims of a political fight. But if you're not going to fight over this, what are you Republicans going to fight over? Now, there are other ways the president can get money. But the problem is, like, for example, you look at this behavior. And as I said to you yesterday, this is what Hannity border government shutdown watch. You watch all of this happen And they all want to blame President Trump. This is one of his key promises to the American people. We have played for you, people like Schumer, Pelosi, Hillary, Obama, all saying everything Donald Trump is saying now. As a matter of fact, you can argue they sound more Trumpian than Trump.
I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
But those who enter our country legally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law. And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked.
And they did nothing to fix the problem. Now we have how many instances of innocent people, innocent families, victims of serious crimes? And Hannity, you can't say all illegal immigrants. I say it all the time. I kind of understand it. Because unlike my so-called colleagues in the media, and I don't even think what they do is media anymore, it's all it is every second, minute, hour of every 24-hour day, hate Trump. It's a psychosis beyond measure. You know, Democrats, they haven't been in power 3 hours. The ink wasn't even dry with Nancy Pelosi becoming the new speaker. And her big name tag on her big office when her fellow House Democrats launched their first formal push to impeach the president. That is exactly what I was telling you yesterday. This is going to be their focus. Within 100 days, let me predict to you that America is going to conclude very quickly that the Democratic Party is full of radical left-wing lunatics. When the Democrats start announcing, like Elizabeth Warren yesterday, when the Bozo O'Rourkes and the crazy Uncle Joes and Pocahontas and, you know, this Bernie had a little sexual harassment problem in his last campaign. The timing seems dubious to me that it was released just as people are beginning to make their announcements. And we wouldn't think that the Democratic Party plays tricks. Oh, that's right. They stole the primary from Bernie the last time. The fix was in there. And then they tried to put the fix in on the general election. And Hillary was in charge of the DNC money. And first they exonerated a guilty party, prevented her from going to jail like most of the American public would go to jail. If you don't believe me, you try it. You get your computer subpoenaed by Congress or a court, and you go ahead. You erase all those emails, 33,000 of them. You go ahead. You acid wash that sucker clean with bleach pit. You go ahead. You take your devices that also may have that information, and you bust them up into smithereens, little itsy bitsy, teeny weeny pieces.
Did you wipe
and take out?
What, like with a cloth or something?
I don't know.
Now, I'm not advising you do it, because if I did, I'd be advising you to break the law and obstruct justice. So they launched all that. That all happened. By the way, it is not over. There are things, Hannity alert, going on behind the scenes that I can't discuss publicly at this particular point in time, but will reveal itself in soon, in due time.
Breaking news
exactly. Now. But there's a double standard. You know, we're shredding our Constitution. And if their push is going to be, let me also say one other thing and put this prediction on record. Donald Trump is not going to be convicted in the U.S. Senate if the Democrats in the House go super haywire and try and impeach him. It's never going to happen. My friend John LeBoutelier, I think he was writing in The Hill. I've always liked John. Smart guy. I still love his book from years ago, Harvard Hates America. He thinks that Trump will be gone by the end of the year. I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is we're going to move, just as we discussed on this program yesterday, they're going to move the bar all over the place to the point that everybody's going to be spinning in their chairs, because it's once they can't get him on impeachment for Russia Trump collusion, well, then it's going to be campaign finance. And then it's going to be the Family Foundation. Then it's going to be whatever they make up in a dream the night before, after they do mushrooms and they did the brown acid instead of the purple acid or whatever they said at Woodstock. I'm kidding, of course. Anyway, so Nancy Pelosi is now the speaker, but the very first item on the Democratic agenda is to remove from office a president that has a track record of success that the media will never tell you about. One of the most successful 2 years of any president, first 2 years of any president in my lifetime for sure, but they can't help themselves. Congressman Brad Sherman, California Democrat, is introducing articles of impeachment against Trump on the first day of the new Congress. Oh, what did I say during the campaign? They're not going to tell you that. They want their crumbs back, but they're not telling you what their real agenda is. They want to impeach him, but they're not going to tell you. They want to eliminate ICE. They want open borders. They want Obamacare on steroids. They want a single-payer system. Now, the good news is, because the president was pretty smart, and he helped out Marsha Blackburn and Ron DeSantis and Rick Scott and Josh Hawley and Braun in Indiana and helped defeat Heitkamp in North Dakota. Well, now we have more seats in the Senate. Everyone thinks that this was the media is also portraying the last election as a horrible year for the president. Okay, well, in the first midterm of Barack Obama, he lost six Senate seats. They didn't have a net gain like Trump did. And he lost 63 House seats. And then Bill Clinton in 94, well, he lost eight Senate seats and 52 House seats. The president picked up Senate seats and lost far fewer House seats. But the media, even they kind of have to admit that. Anyway, so that's day one. Sherman is one of three Democrats who introduced resolutions to impeach Trump in 2017, along with Al Green of Texas, Steve Cohen of Tennessee, part of a small wing of House Democrats. The bottom line is, nothing they want can get passed unless Mitch McConnell takes it up. So if they want to put out 100 show bills that says they're not going to fund the border wall and send it over to the Senate, and Mitch McConnell sends it right back because he's not going to allow it to get up for a vote because Trump was smart to save the Senate, probably carried a lot of these guys over the finish line himself because he was doing all those rallies, then we're going to have a showdown. Let's have a good ideological battle. How many Americans are going to get killed because of illegal immigration, open borders, their desire to get rid of ICE, sanctuary cities, sanctuary states? How many more Americans, how many more times, like in the case of Officer Singh, we're going to have illegal immigrants in this country commit crimes, get in the justice system, and then they're protected by cities and states that don't impose or enforce our federal immigration laws? I want that fight. How long do we want to allow drugs to be trafficked across our border? I've been down there 13 times. I've seen the drug warehouses. I've been down there. I've seen the tunnels that they built. I've been down there when a gang member was arrested. I have it on video. I look stupid on the horse, but I was also in a helicopter, a boat, an all-terrain vehicle out on foot patrol with these guys. 99% I know want a better life for themselves and their families, but when you have a statistic that 3,700 terrorists in a year, people with terrorist backgrounds and connections, were caught at the border, that ought to scare every living American. Question is, okay, do we want to stop the drug trafficking, the human trafficking? Do we want to make sure we vet everybody that wants to come into the country? And do we have a right to do so? And should we insist that people that want to come to America be able to take care of themselves and not be a burden on the American people, considering that the average illegal immigrant costs us criminal justice system, healthcare system, educational system, welfare, $70,000 a year? That's a lot of money we could be giving to American families that are suffering today. One thing that is not political, it's smoking. That's about people. And there are 34 million Americans now that smoke. But for many, there's not been a clear alternative. Juul, for me, has been a game changer. I watch people all the time. They go outside in the middle of the freezing winter just to have their smoke. You don't have to do that anymore because of Juul. Now, people don't have to worry about the smell on your hands. Juul was specifically designed by smokers for smokers to be a satisfying alternative. It's a clean technology. Juul has no ash, no odor, no mess. If you're one of those 34 million adults who do smoke, you now know there's an alternative to cigarettes and cigars. Just go to Juul, JUUL.com/switchamerica. That's JUUL.com/switchamerica. Now, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. But just go to Juul, JUUL.com/switchamerica. All right, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. I don't think I have the right ad here, but I can tell you about Chamonix because they absolutely, positively have the best products available. It all started, Chamonix, their biggest selling product ever, is Genucel, which gets rid of bags and puffiness under your eyes. Then they advance Genucel with their sunspot corrector. That helps if you have sunspots after being out in the sun in the summertime. Now they've got their most advanced technology ever and the brand new Genucel jawline treatment. Now they use dual peptides, MDL technology, the most advanced ever. It tightens a saggy jawline, double chin if you have it. It plumps the lipophilic layers of your skin to perfectly contour and define your jawline within minutes. And they also use peptides and metal lactones together for the first time. Now, when you order Genucel to get rid of bags and puffiness under your eyes, they're going to give you free the brand new Genucel jawline treatment. All right, just go to Genucel.com or call 800-SKIN-509. 800-SKIN-509, Genucel.com. And you won't regret it. Tell your friends about it. Genucel.com, 800-SKIN-509. Look your best in the new year. We'll continue.
You're on the Sean Hannity Show. Now reaching over 20 million listeners every day on 600 great radio stations.
You know, you can always, I've also concluded, and this may sound a little disappointing to all of you, but there's no doubt that there's always going to be a political ebb and flow in America. It's not going to change. Jimmy Carter led to Ronald Reagan, led to a more prosperous, successful America. And then we got 4 years of Herbert Walker Bush, and then we go right back to Clinton. Now, interestingly, it was Newt Gingrich that really helped Clinton be a better president. It was after he lost his 60 seats in the midterm and 8 seats in the Senate and Trump gained seats in the Senate that he said the era of big government, the end of welfare as we know it, and they ended up having a, what did Newt say yesterday, a 27-day shutdown? Newt shut down the government. Newt didn't care about a government shutdown. And for whatever reason, there is this natural appeal at times of socialism. And America's going to go through, you know, at some point. But I'm going to tell you the greatest example. You know, I'll probably have to wait to the break to tell you. I watched Andrew Cuomo. He's the governor of New York. And he gave his State of the State inauguration speech. I guess it was his inauguration speech. As he now begins his third term. He says he's going to be the most progressive state in the country. But I've got numbers that are startling for states like New York and Illinois and New Jersey, and equally startling for other states like Tennessee and Texas and Florida. It reveals every single thing you need to know about why liberalism is a failed, flawed ideology. We'll be right back.
always believe what the other side claims. That's why there's the Sean Hannity Show.
Within my first 100 days, I will propose to the new Democratic legislature the most progressive agenda this state has ever seen, period. From voting reforms to Roe v. Wade for New York, to protecting a woman's right to choose, to better gun laws, to health care protection, to legalizing marijuana, to protecting the labor movement, to a Green New Deal, to real criminal justice reform, we will make history. And New York will move forward. Not by building a wall, my friends, but by building new bridges and building new airports and creating new middle-class jobs and an economic future for the next generation and showing us how good we can be at our best when we are together.
It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
That's my favorite line of all time. No. All right, so that is New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. I live in New York. If you live in New York, so let's say federal taxes before the tax cuts, top marginal rate, 39.5%. Then you got New York, another 9.9%, which is basically everybody, because to get an apartment, well, how much is your apartments in New York, right? I mean, you're paying an obscene amount of money. There are people that work on my television show, young people, they want to be in TV. They graduate some of the top colleges. They suck it up for a lot of years, right? Steven, how many years these people suck it up? You've been working at Fox, what, 20 years? No.
10 years. My God, he is 20.
I know. He looks like he's 20. So all these kids, they're living in like 900 square feet apartments that they're paying like $3,000 for. And there's three of them. Okay, how much do you pay for your apartment every month?
Too much. It gives me anxiety to think about.
Give me a number. Can you give it to me?
I'll tell you mine. I got no shame.
What?
I paid $3,000 a month for 600 square feet.
Okay, and yours was a dump, right?
Forget about it. I don't live in a dump, first of all. I make everything beautiful.
Okay, 600 square feet, and how many animals lived in there with
you?
That
wasn't part of the question.
Okay, they take up 300 square feet because you're like an animal nut. But just say, all right, so Andrew Cuomo is talking about all these progressive things that he wants to do for New York. Now, he is exactly what the Democratic Party is nationally. This is Scary O'Cortez. This is Elizabeth Warren. This is Bernie Sanders. This is. By the way, your mics are on, just so you know. You're hot in the studio. Yeah, whatever your buttons push there, unless you guys want to have that conversation on air, keep the button down. So Andrew Cuomo, this just came out. So New York State, the rate of New York State's population, with all of that progressive talk that he's doing, New York State's population tax base is imploding. So remember, you pay your federal income taxes, you pay 10% more state income taxes, which you can't deduct anymore, which means, for example, under the Trump tax cuts that help the middle class wage earners save $2,000 to $3,000 a year, I'm actually paying more, which I'm not arguing about. This isn't about me. And then you pay, if you work in the city, another 3%. And then if you live in the suburbs and you're in Westchester or Nassau, Suffolk County, and Long Island, then you're paying the highest property taxes in the entire country. So he's doing such a good job as he begins, what, year 9 of his governorship. And now all these grand socialists, you know, that was a wish list of leftism, socialism, statism. And somebody's got to pay for it all. And that would be the remaining people in New York. Now, the biggest population losers between 2017, July of 2017, and July of 2018 were, high tax Democratic states like New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and California. Now, if that state is so promising, like he is saying, and like Elizabeth Warren is suggesting similar policies, and Bernie Sanders, similar policies. Cuomo, obviously, with the rhetoric, he's ratcheting up. He's preparing for that big run himself. And then you're going to get, you know, we got Bozo O'Rourke, Pocahontas. We got maybe Andrew Gillum will get in. Liberal Mayor Tallahassee. That's where they want to take the country. But here's the problem. In 1 year, New York State, that state that Andrew Cuomo was describing, the socialist utopia of New York, lost 48,000 residents in 1 year. That means 48,000 people decided, that's a net loss, by the way, of people, decided to get the hell out of New York. And then I look at Illinois. Their population declined by more than 45,000. Vermont is saving people because they're like offering $10,000 incentives to stay there. And then what are the reasons? High taxes, burdensome regulation. By the way, there's no more corrupt place than Albany, New York. If you ever become a Speaker of the House of the Assembly in New York, you're going to jail. If you become the Senate Majority Leader in the state of New York, you're going to jail. Cuomo literally said in an interview that if you guys investigate me, I'm going to follow every dollar and that you give to all of the people you're paying off with our tax money, of course. That's what he suggested. That's how I took it. Anyway, so now here's the difference. Let's go to the great state of Texas. Great state of Texas, they added 380,000 people in that same one-year period. And the state of Florida, they came pretty close to matching Texas. They added 322,000 more people. Now, why is it states like New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, why are they losing population? Why are states like Tennessee, Florida, the South in general, even the Midwest, why are they gaining population? Because of regulation, high taxes, it's not affordable, better weather, and you have more freedom. So while, you know, the country always is going to experiment with socialism, and I think we're about to go through that debate yet again, America is going to, you know, I am telling, this is the net result. It was not hard as I was vetting Obama as like the sole person vetting Obama in 07 and 08. And I studied Frank Marshall Davis and I studied Alinsky and I studied Rules for Radicals and I studied ACORN and I just studied what community organizing is. Whoever had ever heard of what a community organizer is. And then the Black liberation theology in the Church of GD America, 20 years in the pews of Reverend Wright, and starting your political career in the homes of weather ground leaders like Ayers and Thorne. And I told you that Obama was going to fail and fail spectacularly. I mean, Bill Clinton was far more astute politically than Barack Obama was. Barack Obama is the only president that I can point to maybe in my lifetime that showed zero growth in terms of his ability to challenge his own rigid indoctrination and ideology. Jimmy Carter even did better. The person that was the most astute on the Democratic side was Bill Clinton, because after his beatdown in his first midterm election, well, the era of big government is over, the end of welfare as we know it, Newt Gingrich became the speaker, first time Republicans had power in 40 years. The reality is this, there is this bizarre appeal to spreading the wealth, redistribution of wealth. And I'm going to tell you what it's rooted in. Human beings, most people, have their lives governed by fear. If you're going to be honest with yourself and take a deep dive look into your heart, most people live their lives with a lot of fear. Now, if you're religious, the antithesis of fear is faith. Then you would believe in God, and you put your faith, your trust, your hope, your dreams in God. But most people, now why are they in fear? Most people can't. 90%+ of Americans, if something, the God forbid thing happens, and you need money, or you lose your job, or something happens and somebody gets sick, most people don't have enough money for 3 months. They can't survive for 3 months. And then you add, okay, how much is my rent? How much is my car payment? How much is my kid's school? How much do I have to pay for clothes? How much do I have to pay for books? And there is a justifiable side of, I would say, concern is better than fear and worry. But a lot of people are in fear. And then here comes the government. And the government says, free. We're going to give you free health care. Oh, geez, health care is so expensive. I can't afford it. How did Obamacare work out? It was sold on a series of lies. Keep your doctor, keep your plan, and pay less. None of those promises were kept. People, millions lost their doctors, millions lost their plans, and millions paid more. But they played to your fear. Government plays to your fear, which is why you wonder historically, you got this up and down in the political cycle. It's appealing when the government says, well, we're going to take money from them and we're going to give it to you. And that's going to take away a lot of your fear. And if you put your faith, your hope, your trust in us, then we're going to make sure that your health care is taken care of, your retirement is taken care of, your kids are taken care of. I mean, if you listen to socialists at the ultimate level, they want free health care, free daycare, free schools. How are those government schools doing? We pay more per capita than any other country in the industrialized world with the worst results. You can't do any worse than our own public schools. But that's the government. Takes away the fear. You don't have to pay for your school. And if you want to send your kid to a public school, first you have to pay for the school that you're not going to use because they're not going to give you the choice because they want your money to pay for a school you're not going to use. And they don't care. You know, our founders and our framers, I did a lot of reading over vacation, a lot. You know, and Thomas Paine wrote in Common Sense, were the guides and dictates of one's conscience irresistibly obeyed, there wouldn't be any need for any lawmaker. And, you know, unless the American people become, you know, think of those people that drove west, go west, young man. Took a lot of guts. Americans, we say the home of the brave, right? It's pretty brave if you look at the moon and maybe you have one of those good telescopes. You can actually see the craters in the moon and you can find Mars and Pluto and galaxies within galaxies, the majesty of creation. If you have faith in yourself, you're going to do better. Government, Paine said, in its worst state is but a necessary evil. And in its best state, a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one. And yet the appeal of socialism, they will take away your fear. But they're not taking away your fear. Governments become tyrannical. Every bit of security that you think you're getting from your government, every bit of it, I don't care if it's they're going to pay your mortgage, give you free housing, give you free health care, every single thing they, quote, give you, you give up your freedom and you give them the power over your lives to the point where politicians in New York decide you can't have a salt shaker at a restaurant. You have to ask for it. Or they decide the size of the Big Gulp you can buy. You can't buy a Big Gulp because they determine it's not healthy for you. If you have freedom and you take your God-given talents in that environment with a desire to produce goods and services that other people want, need, and desire, and take advantage of the freedom that the 90% of the world doesn't share with us, and use it to your advantage, everybody could be rich. The reason we don't have 1 million or 2 million more high-paying energy jobs now that we're the number one producer of oil in the world, because of government. No other reason. because of environmentalists in bed with the Obama administration, wiping out drilling, wiping out fracking. You know how rich New York could be if the governor would just open up fracking and natural gas in upstate New York? It would be a New York renaissance. The one thing not on his list is the freedom to use the blessings of those natural resources. So we let our neighboring state, Pennsylvania, steal it all. All they do is drop it down and they take every bit of it. And guess what? Hundreds of thousands of people in Pennsylvania are benefiting from New York's stupidity. So people are leaving states like New York, New Jersey, California, Illinois. I have one thing to say, though. Which one do you want me to do here?
The one in your hand.
So, I have one thing to say. If you're going to move out of these liberal states, and you're going to move to Florida, Texas, Tennessee, the Carolinas, wherever you want to move to, leave your liberal policies with you. You cannot destroy two states. You already are leaving a state that's been destroyed. If you want to go to a state that is thriving and opportunities exist, leave your liberal policies at home.
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat. His domestic policies would lead to recession. His foreign policies would make America and the world less safe. He has neither the temperament nor the judgment to be president, and his personal qualities would mean that America would cease to be a shining city on a hill. I'm convinced America has greatness ahead, and this is a time for choosing. God bless us to choose a nominee who will make that vision a reality. Thank you, and God bless you all.
All right, that was, of course, Mitt Romney. 800-941-SHAWN is a toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Hour two, our Hannity Political Watch segment of the day. We have with us Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who's back with us after Romney did that. It was interesting, if I remember correctly, Senator Paul, and Happy New Year to you, I do remember Mitt Romney wanting and seeking Donald Trump's endorsement and also acknowledging that Donald Trump kept a lot of his promises that he didn't think he was going to keep. I can go through the list of his successful conservative policies and promises made that he kept. You took some umbrage with what Mitt Romney did before he was even sworn in as a senator from Utah.
Well, you know, just listening to that sound clip makes me think of the word sanctimonious. I mean, how holy am I that I'm going to cast aspersions on everyone else? My character is pure, but I'm going to make sure that everybody in the world knows that I think the president is dishonest. I just thought it was a terrible way for him to join the U.S. Senate and really unfair to the president. I mean, really, when I look at this presidency so far, I see a president as conservative or more conservative than Reagan was. And when I look back and I hear sort of never Trumpers like Romney saying these things, I was reminded of where Romney was on Reagan. You know, back in 94, he was debating Kennedy. And during the debate, Kennedy was accusing him of supporting Reagan. And he says, oh, no, no, wait a minute. I was an independent back then. So he wasn't even claiming that he supported Reagan. But then later on in the Reagan term, like 1986, 1987, he was jumping on with others saying that Reagan should resign. So really, Romney's been a big government Republican his whole life, and now he wants to come up there and bash a good conservative. I think it's a big mistake.
All right, look at 2018, and Real Clear Politics put out a really good article of the president's successes, his biggest successes and promises kept for 2018. One, Brett Kavanaugh. Remember, he's the only candidate that I can recall that actually gave us names of people he would appoint to the Supreme Court. So he kept that promise. We see his confronting of China is now working. It's not done yet, but they certainly have backed off tariffs on cars. They're going to import soybeans and other farm products from our farmers in the Midwest that desperately need to have those markets open. We saw the middle class, their wages rise, eclipsing 3% for the first time in 12 years. The president got a better trade deal with the U.S.-Mexico-Canada deal. He ended the Iranian disaster nuclear deal, which he promised. He moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. We see the smashing of the ISIS caliphate, kept his promise on Syria. We see record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, youth unemployment, president holding the line. You know, I mean, that's just the top 10.
Yeah, and I think what gets a lot of the neocons is he's also keeping the promise of America first. There's only so much money and wealth that we have, and we're spending so much of it overseas. We take care of everybody from top to bottom, everywhere. Right now, we spend $50 billion a year in Afghanistan, and this is the first president in my lifetime who's willing to say, you know what, we won the war. We defeated the Taliban. We defeated those who attacked us. We had defeated those who harbored those who attacked us, and 17 years later, all we are doing is nation building over there. And Trump's been, I think, very brave in saying this. And the foreign policy swamp has risen up. And I think, you know, they asked Romney why he did this. And I think that's part of it. He is afraid that President Trump will end the wars in the Middle East and start spending some of that money here at home.
Well, I got to tell you something. My only fear is this. Right now we have, I think, 2,000 troops in Syria. One of the things, and I got to give actually somebody like Lindsey Graham a little credit, and I know you guys disagree on Syria and probably Afghanistan, but the Afghanistan conflict's been going on 18 years. It was a draw with the former Soviet Union. My only fear is this. I only want enough resources on the ground paid for by other countries because it benefits them a lot more than us. I want intelligence forces. They've got to do their own fighting because the 9/11 Commission report, we can't forget they were at war with us. And we weren't at war with them. So there's,
but
I think we.
But what's very important to recognize is that the neocons say anytime there's ever a discussion of leaving the Middle East or leaving a portion of the Middle East, they say if you leave, they will regroup. Well, that's going to be true in 50 or 100 years. What we're fighting is an Islamic, radical Islamic ideology, this idea of terrorism. It's an ideology that's out there. It doesn't mean we always have to have boots on the ground in every quadrant of the Middle East. We have an amazing ability to deliver troops on a moment's notice. We have the amazing ability to deliver a cruise missile on a moment's notice. We have the world's most dominant air force. There's no reason we always have to be the boots on the ground everywhere. And after a while, the mission changes. So like in Syria, the original mission was defeat ISIS. But now Lindsey Graham and others say, oh, no, we're going to stay till Iran leaves or Russia leaves. Well, Russia's been there since the 40s. Russia's not leaving Syria. I don't know when Iran's leaving, but if we're staying till Iran leaves different parts of the Middle East, we are staying forever. We need to help our friends.
Listen, I want to be very clear. Maybe I'm in the middle of both of you here. I am just saying our intelligence must remain engaged in all of these countries. I think, look, Syria, Iran, obviously Putin and Russia, they're bad actors. We got to keep our eye on China, especially with their massive military buildup. Afghanistan, yeah, we've got to watch the Taliban. We don't want them reemerging as they have. I'm just saying keep our eyes on it. I am saying we've got to see threats emerging.
I'm not opposed to that. I don't think the president is either. For example, if the remaining 14,000 troops left from Afghanistan, would we still have to watch them like a hawk? Yes, we would have to watch them like a hawk. Will there be turmoil? Yes, there's turmoil now. But the thing is, we will watch to see if anyone has the capability or the planning strategy to come after us. But we don't have to have troops there forever. Most of what they're doing, I talked to the president just the other day, and he was commenting how that we send a helicopter to take a school teacher to work every day, 5 miles. You know, we spend, you know, I don't know, what does that cost? $10,000 to take someone on a helicopter ride? That's what we're doing over there. We build a gas station that no one can see or use because it's too dangerous to go to. We build a $90 million hotel that's half built. The contractor ran off with the money. And now it's a danger to our soldiers because the Taliban crawls up in this half-built hotel and shoots down at our embassy. It's just crazy to keep throwing money over there. And there's plenty of money. If we weren't spending $50 billion a year in Afghanistan, we could spend money on the wall here. We could spend money on roads and bridges here. That's what Donald Trump won on.
See,
America first.
I want to fight wars that if we have to fight them very differently than we have historically. We cannot do what we did in Iraq again. First, we sent these kids in, and I supported the battle, the conflict. I thought it was the right decision. I think we're better off. But I still think the president was right in saying they need to pay our military families that lost loved ones. That should always be the case. We're always bearing the burden, the cost, the blood, our treasure. We're losing our kids. We can't keep sending kids into a war situation. Everybody's all gung-ho. 3 years later, it's politicized. They want to pull out, and we send them with up-armored Humvees. And then we're stupid enough to send them door-to-door. You know,
well,
as
this is one of the things that President Trump really has gotten. So with regard to the Iraq war, when Hussein was gone, unfortunately, it made Iran stronger. And Iran's best ally now is Russia and the new government of Iraq.
Right.
And so the new government of Iraq is so closely aligned, Iran is more of a problem. And that's the unintended consequence that the Bush presidency did not foresee when they toppled Hussein. That guess what? Now Iran is more of a problem. They're stronger than they've ever been because we toppled their enemy and because we upset the balance. And that's something President Trump has recognized for a decade or more, maybe two decades. Almost since the very beginning, President Trump has talked about the Iraq war being geopolitically a foreign policy blunder.
Let me ask you about this battle that we have over the shutdown. Maybe I'm one of the few Americans that knows the truth that essential services are alive and well, and the Coast Guard's being paid, our military's being paid, Homeland Security is being paid, all essential services continue, Grandma's getting her Social Security check, Medicare continues, and I know that everyone tries to get all panicked and whip everybody's mind into a frenzy, but the reality is, I think a border wall, knowing this is where drug trafficking takes place, this is where criminals, they caught 3,700 terrorists in a year's time trying to cross over our borders. So for me,
look,
this is a fight worth taking, a fight worth having to the end.
Look, the Democrats voted last year, almost all of them, for $25 billion for a wall. So now they're quibbling over. They're not going to spend anything. They're saying they're going to spend zero. So I think there is definitely a compromise to be had. If the president wants $5 billion, the Democrats want zero, there is something in the middle there. But historically, Congresses have not forbidden the president from trying to build a wall or establish security on our southern border. So I think in the end, it's a bold maneuver. I can tell you most of the establishment Republicans in Washington were ready to wash their hands of this and walk away. But he does have leverage. He also has leverage because this shutdown is different than any other recent shutdown. The military has already been funded. 75% of government's been funded. And in the past, presidents used this to their own advantage. They would go close down the World War II monument. You remember when they did that?
All right. So how do you see this coming to an end here? And I think it's a read my lips moment for the president. I think if he caves and doesn't get a significant portion of that money, that conservatives are going to be very angry.
I think he has leverage like no president has had in recent time because most of the government's open. Many people are not even noticing. I've noticed some of the networks are now putting on government workers saying, oh, I can't go to work and provide housing for poor people. All of that stuff is happening. Nothing's really – I think what you'd find out is you don't need most of these government workers after a while. But nobody's really noticing it. So he has the leverage to go on weeks and weeks and weeks. And if the compromise is somehow splitting the difference between him and the Democrats, I think a lot of people will say that's not an unreasonable outcome.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. We'll see what happens. All right, take a quick break. We'll come back. Rand Paul is with us, Senator from Kentucky. We'll get to your calls coming up. We also have the latest Hannity Watch on border security. And the very latest, we're going to talk to the sheriff and the police chief out in Newman, California, as they mourn the loss of Corporal Singh, who died at the hands of an illegal immigrant that was in custody, but sanctuary laws prevented him from being deported. As we wrap things up, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky is with us. Let me ask you about where you think the Russia probe is going, because the only Russia collusion we found is with Hillary Clinton paying for Russian lies that was then never verified, that was used to get FISA warrants on Trump campaign associates. And this is after her friends in the FBI that had an insurance policy, a media leak policy, and believed she should win $100 million to zero. Exonerated her from obvious crimes of the Espionage Act and obstruction of justice when she destroyed subpoenaed materials. So where does this all end? Do you think we ever get real justice, or is equal justice in America dead?
You know, it doesn't seem like we've had a very fair approach to this, particularly when you are exactly right that the only person to exchange money with someone related to the Russians was Hillary Clinton, with money going to Christopher Steele, who was in all likelihood then paying Russians for his information. So that probably will never be investigated, I think. Now you're going to see Trump.
But how is that possible? How is that possible? Do you have any doubt that if I had subpoenaed emails, 33,000 of them, and I erased them, and then I acid washed my hard drive with bleach bit, and then I busted up my devices to hide it, are you telling me I wouldn't go to jail?
You would, because you're a Republican or you're a conservative. But, you know, I think the justice doesn't, and this is what troubles people. Every day I talk to people who are afraid now to participate in the political process because they're afraid that the government will target them because of their political beliefs. This is what happened to the Tea Party groups under Lois Lerner and under the Obama Department of Justice. And it is. It's very unfair. It's not an equal application of justice. And people are concerned about it.
You know what you're saying. Like, you're saying we don't have a constitution. You know you're saying that.
Well, I am saying that I'm very worried that it's not applied equally, that it depends on your political beliefs, how things are applied. The other problem with
that sounds like a banana republic, Senator. I mean, I'm not trying to interrupt you. I agree with you. That doesn't sound like equal justice, equal application of laws.
I think the problem that we've seen is that the Department of Justice has been neutered somewhat under President Trump because of their, you know, sort of taking a step back and not participating in anything and recusing themselves. They then also were unable to have the strength to go after and prosecute any illegality with regard to the Hillary Clinton campaign. I think in the end that the Mueller investigation will find nothing. They'll write some kind of report and nobody will remember it but history. The Democrats may overreach and try to do something like impeachment, but I think it'll be seen as a political move on their part. So I think in the end it will all fade away, but I think it's going to go on and on until Mueller finally makes that final decision to close shop. And this is why I'm absolutely opposed to these prosecutors. I wouldn't vote for another prosecutor
for any
side, Republican or Democrat.
All right, Rand Paul, happy new year to you and your family. You're a good man. We'll be checking in often. Good for you to standing up to Romney.
Are you willing to come up and give him some of this money for the wall? Because apparently that's the sticking point.
No, nothing for the wall. We're talking about border security.
Nothing for the wall, but that means it's
Well, we can go through this all, back and forth. Mm-hmm. No. How many more times can we say no? Nothing for the wall.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
The president's decision to end DACA was heartless and it was brainless.
When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration.
Hundreds of thousands of families will be ripped apart.
If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong.
Tens of thousands of American businesses will lose hardworking employees.
And the argument there, Mr. President, is Americans don't want to do the work. We just can't find American workers to do the work. Mr. President, that is a crock in many instances. It's just not true.
In my view, Trump's decision to end the DACA program for some 800,000 young people is the cruelest and most ugly presidential act in the modern history of this country. I cannot think of one single act which is uglier and more cruel.
The number of immigrants added to the labor force every year is of a magnitude not seen in this country for over a century. If this huge influx of mostly low-skill workers provides some benefits to the economy as a whole, it also threatens to depress further the wages of blue-collar Americans and puts strains on an already overburdened safety net.
Immigrants aren't the principal reason wages haven't gone up.
There are those in the immigrants' rights community who have argued passionately that we should simply provide those who are illegally with legal status, or at least ignore the laws on the books and put an end to deportation until we have better laws. But I believe such an indiscriminate approach would be both unwise and unfair.
All right, so they all sound like Donald Trump going back just a couple of years ago, and now they sound like there's somebody totally different on immigration. There is your, you know, new Democratic Congress. It's, you know what it is? It's what I said yesterday. It's all about how they hate this president. I I go through you run through the case. Trump cures cancer. The answer will be, well, Trump cured cancer, but not for every person on earth. He didn't do it for people in other countries. Trump gives millions of dollars to every American, but he didn't give millions to everybody that walks the earth. It's always going to be something. Anyway, joining us now, Dan Bongino, host of the Dan Bongino podcast, also the author of the New York Times bestseller, Spygate. Sabine Durden is with us. She lost her son, Dominic Durden, on July 12, 2012, at the hands of an illegal immigrant. An old friend of the program who we've become very fond of, Steve Ronnebeck, is with us. His son, Grant Ronnebeck, was shot by an illegal immigrant, took his life. He was working overnight in a convenience store so he could pay for his own college. Welcome all of you to the program. Sabine, we'll start with you. Tell us about your son, Dominic.
Hi, thanks for having me, and what an honor to be on. I'm one of the rare ones, the legal immigrant. I came from Germany, the right way, paperwork, stood in line, paid a lot of money, and brought along my son, Dominic, who is African-American German and called himself German Chocolate. We immigrated, and it took me 6 years to become a legal citizen of America, and my son worked for the community. He was a 911 dispatcher for the Riverside, California Sheriff's Department, and on July 12, 2012, an illegal alien with two felonies, two DUIs that he received probation for each time, no registration, no license, turned his uninsured truck right in front of Dominic's motorcycle and killed him instantly, threw him into a wall. And the guy, like many illegals that kill our American citizens, received only a misdemeanor without gross negligence and served, well, he got 9 months, 5 year probation, and he served.
How do you get 5 days. Months when you kill somebody?
Yeah. Nine months, 5 years. Well, you know, it was a sanctuary city, Riverside, California, before it became a sanctuary state. They just didn't call it that. But the killer of my son spent 35 days in jail. That's it. That's all he got.
35 days in jail, and your son is gone forever.
My only child.
Your only child. You came into the country legally. You went through the hard, arduous, difficult legal process. And, you know, I've got a copy of Breitbart. They have an article out, In Memoriam, 12 Americans killed by illegal immigrants in 2018 alone. And I'm looking at one young person with the promise of life in front of them in each case.
Yeah, Dominic was 30 years old. He wanted to become a helicopter pilot for the Sheriff's Department. He was Volunteer of the Year for our city in Moreno Valley in 2004. So he was a productive member, and yet his life didn't count. It didn't matter. The illegal alien still didn't receive hardly any anything.
35 days in jail.
My family. Yeah, my family was completely destroyed, yet nobody starts any investigation in this or doesn't cry for him, especially Pelosi or them. Nobody in California reached out to me
So whose district are you in California?
I moved to Arkansas. I was in Riverside.
Riverside.
Riverside County.
Not one person called you. You know, no. I said this last night. I mean, this police officer, Officer Singh, who came into the country legally, and he got killed on the job by this illegal immigrant who had previously been in jail, and because of the sanctuary state policies of California, was never handed over to ICE.
Yeah.
And he's got a five-month-old son. And I said, okay, so we're not going to build the wall. We're going to eliminate ICE. We're not going to enforce the law. Is Congress going to step up and maybe pay for this kid's college tuition? Are they going to pay to raise this kid? You never can fill the void of losing your father. This kid will never know his father his entire life.
But the money that is available will go to illegals and their college funds and their medical bills and all the other things they receive, all these magnets that bring them here. Yet American citizens are in the shadows where the illegals used to be. They are out now. They proudly prancing around and flaunting that they are here illegally, and they're not afraid.
Let me bring
in the shadows.
Well, you don't belong in the shadows. You need to tell your story. I keep saying if we build the border wall, I don't care where people come from. You're invited from anywhere.
Yeah.
But we have a right to vet you. And if we do honor you with one of the few slots that are available, we can't take in the world's population.
That's right.
At least we can expect that you can take care of yourself and not depend on the American taxpayer, and that we know that you are not bringing a background of criminal activity with you.
And appreciate citizenship.
Yeah, like you did.
Absolutely.
Steve, I know you well now over the years. Your son Grant was working overnight in a convenience store, right?
Yes, sir.
And what gets interesting, not only this, so he's robbing your son is complying, he's giving him, I think, the cigarettes he was asking for, and he killed him anyway. Your son was working, saving money for his own college, but what did we learn about the history of that illegal immigrant?
Well, he had been arrested prior, about 2.5 years before he killed Grant. He had performed a home invasion with his wife at the time and another man. They held a woman captive naked for 10 days, sexually assaulting her over and over during that 10 days, and filling her full of heroin. He was able to plead it down to...
So they kidnapped, held hostage, and if I remember correctly, raped a girl, brutally raped this girl for over a week. Kept this girl hostage a week, was found guilty, correct?
He was only found guilty of felony burglary. They had dropped the sexual assault charges.
Spent time in jail, right?
No, he never served a day in prison for those charges. He got 2 years probation.
2 years probation. So they didn't send him back. They knew he was illegal, though.
Correct.
Okay, so they don't send him back, and then he goes to kill your son. Now, here's a tough question. At what point does the government bear the responsibility of aiding and abetting criminal activity by not enforcing the laws of the land, which would have meant he would have been sent back to the country of origin? At what point? To what degree do you blame them for not enforcing the law?
Well, and you know, try to find an attorney that was willing to sue the Obama administration or ICE at the time, and you can't find one because, you know, at the time, the word discretion, they hide behind it. And that's what some of our politicians now, especially on the liberal side, are doing. They're hiding behind discretion, saying, oh, they're not all bad. And it's ridiculous. You know, Officer Singh, I mean... What a poster child for legal immigration. And this man, my God, my heart goes out to that family.
I don't know if you saw last night's show. We had the sheriff on and we had the police captain on. And the police captain could barely keep it together. I mean, this is a brotherhood, a family. And then you get, and the sheriff was clear that these sanctuary state laws of California, city laws, they are aiding and abetting lawbreaking. And let me go to Dan Bongino get your quick reaction.
Yeah, I did see that the captain last night. He did his expression, Sean, was just devastating. But it's interesting listening to these two, and you're both so incredibly brave. Thank you for coming on, listening to their stories.
Thank you, Dan.
How when we talk about immigration, oh, gosh, you're welcome. It's my honor. But how we talk about immigration, Sean, and illegal immigration, and it's only talked about by Democrats and liberals in terms of the consequences for people who broke the law.
Yeah.
But it's never discussed in terms of the consequences of these two unbelievably brave, incredible American patriots who gave everything. They gave their families. I've just met you both, but I can tell by the way you talk, you would have traded places with your loved ones in a minute. And the fact that we never have this conversation in terms of the consequences for the people who suffer the consequences of illegal immigration is really just shameful.
We don't have that discussion, and that's never. The sad part of all of this. How do you justify going from a position of supporting a wall to not supporting any wall, and then to the position of, well, we're not responsible if people are here illegally, commit crimes, we don't send them back to the country of origin as the law requires, and then they commit more crimes? At what point is government culpable? All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Sabine Durden is with us, lost her son Dominic Durden to an illegal immigrant. Steve Ronnebeck, he lost his son Grant to an illegal immigrant. And Dan Bongino is with us, author of the bestseller Spygate. Dan, I just want to go back to you. We hear these stories. We have 18 people from last year alone. Yeah. The Democrats supported building the wall, funding the wall. Now they don't fund it. What's the explanation? Trump hate?
No, they're frauds. I mean, what other explanation is there? We have video of it, Sean. You know, there's this thing called YouTube now and Vimeo and all these video apps. We have them on tape actually supporting things. They've done a 180 degree flip on 360. They'd be back to normal and be talking truthfully. But the problem with this is, you know, here's the issue. 100% of the people in this country illegally should not be here. I get it. I stipulate the point that a lot of people who break the law come here and cross the border will not in turn, you know, commit additional crimes after that. Fine. Point stipulated. But some will and 100% shouldn't be here. And when some of these people commit these crimes, you have situations like Ronil Singh and others. And these
when you were in law enforcement and I did anything to aid and abet the commission of a crime, and I had an opportunity to stop a criminal, knew a crime was being committed, and I didn't tell you, would I be culpable in that crime?
You know, you could be. Yeah, and as we saw with Singh's situation, there were people who were taken down, and that's the problem there. I mean, you have people in this. And Sean, isn't that debunk, though, the myth that you hear all the time from the liberals where they say, oh, this illegal immigration, sanctuary cities, they make these communities safer, safer. So incentivizing criminality somehow makes the community safer? It's nonsense. It's garbage. Everybody knows it.
All right, we have 10 seconds each. We're going to say goodbye to Sabine Durden. Sabine, what would you tell your government in one sentence that you want from them?
I want our laws enforced. I want this illegal invasion stopped. And if illegals would vote for Republicans, we would have a wall high enough to be seen from space.
Steve Ronnebeck, what do you want to tell these politicians during this battle?
You know what? Stop the lunacy. You know, 68% of our population wants the wall. They want border security. They want national security. Quit fighting our president and get on board. Get on the board with our voters and our American citizens and stop the violence and the drugs and the trafficking and the murders. It's got to stop.
All right. Thank you both for sharing your story. You're in our prayers. I know how painful. I guess nobody knows. You lose a kid, nobody can know that pain. I don't know how you recover. How do you get up every day? Anyway, thank you all for being with us. Dan, good to see you. Happy New Year,
too,
my
buddy.
Friend. I heard you did great on radio and TV.
It was no Sean Hannity.
I think you got a little bit in
Listen,
there.
Listen, you work hard. I have a newfound respect for you, brother. That's tough.
He said he did radio and TV in one day.
One day. I was done.
And you slept 12 hours?
I'm not kidding. 12 hours out. I didn't even need like any...
I was good till December. Then I was shot last year. I was like, I need to get out of here.
Tough job, man.
All right, brother. We love you. Thanks. Quick break. All right. News roundup, information overload, Hannity watch on all the top issues of the day, and 9 Eastern tonight. Quick break, right back, we'll continue.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
Are you willing to come up and give him some of this money for the wall? Because apparently that's the sticking point.
No, nothing for the wall. We're talking about border security.
Nothing for the wall, but that means it's
Well, we can go through this all, back and forth. No. How many more times can we say no? Nothing for the wall.
If you and the Democrats don't meet halfway, if you don't compromise, then why isn't the shutdown partially your responsibility as well?
It has nothing to do with us. It has the president saying, I will hold 6 agencies of government hostage to my campaign promise that I was going to build a wall and that Mexico was going to pay for it. That is so ridiculous. A, Mexico's not paying for it, A, and B, we have better use of funds to protect our borders.
He says, well, now I've redone this deal, new trade deal with Mexico, so ultimately Mexico is going to pay for it. Do you buy that?
No, the president either doesn't know what he's talking about or doesn't want to know what he's talking about. There's no way that money from a trade agreement makes a profit that goes to pay for a wall.
The president took a swipe, I think, as recently as today, saying that you went on vacation to Hawaii during the shutdown. Now, you had said before the shutdown that he was being quite cavalier and that maybe the shutdown would give him more time to golf. But in the end, it was you that took a holiday.
Why don't you take a holiday? I observed the Christmas holiday for a few days and why cut, in fact, and cut in half the time I would have had with my family.
Was that a cheap shot?
But the fact, oh, it's not. It's unimportant. It's totally unimportant. But the fact is, we all stood ready and we told our members we'll have 24 hours notice for all of us to be where we need to be. And the president may not know this, but Hawaii is part of the United States of America. Maybe he doesn't realize that. I don't know where the president observed the religious holiday of Christmas. Do you?
Many Democrats are talking about impeachment. You've said it would be sad and divisive for the country to pursue impeachment. Yeah. Are you willing to rule it out?
Well, we have to wait and see what happens with the Mueller report. We shouldn't be impeaching for a political reason, and we shouldn't avoid impeachment for a political reason. So we just have to see how it comes.
Do you believe the special counsel should honor and observe the Department of Justice guidance that states a sitting president cannot be indicted?
I do not think that that is conclusive. No, I do not.
So you think it's possible that special counsel Mueller could legally indict a sitting president?
Let's just see what Mueller does. Let's spend our time on getting results for the American people.
As you well know, there is longstanding Department of Justice guidance that states a sitting president should not be indicted. But it is not the law.
It is not the law. Everything indicates that a president can be indicted after he is no longer president of the United States.
What about a sitting president?
Well, sitting president when he's no longer president of the United States.
A president who is in office. Right. Could Robert Mueller come back and say, I am seeking an indictment?
I think that that is an open discussion. I think that is an open discussion in terms of the law.
Do you think he deals with you differently because you're a woman?
I have no idea. We'll see. Maybe now that how he will deal with the Speaker of the House. And that doesn't matter whether you're a woman or not. But I hope he recognizes that a new day has dawned in America.
You said in August you thought he might be afraid of you and afraid of the women that are coming to Congress.
Well, I don't know if he knows how to deal with women in power and women with strength, but we'll see.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload, Sean Hannity Show. We're going to get to your calls this hour. You know, so much information we don't get to in the course of a program. And all the stuff that I bring in here, I want to start getting to some of it. Obviously, we have our Hannity Watch segments on the border wall shutdown today. And, you know, it's amazing that you have 12 Americans killed by illegal immigrants last year alone. And Democrats don't seem to really care one bit about any of this or the New Year's Eve attack on the wall. Because if they did, you'd think that they'd want to enforce our laws. They wouldn't support sanctuary cities or sanctuary states. But it's, you know, this is all part of what I've been saying. Hating Donald Trump now by these five powerful forces, this is what their agenda is all about. It's an agenda of wake up, hate the president, never support anything he wants, even if it's good for the American people. And that's why Hannity Watch has been developed. So we're going to keep our eyes on them, especially the Democratic Party. I mean, you know, they can talk. Let me tell you what the news media is doing. Not their worst case scenario is by 2020, they will wear the country out in terms of Donald Trump. Their worst case scenario is they just delegitimize him to the point where they're never going to say anything positive about Donald Trump in the hopes that you would never, ever consider voting for Donald Trump. I mean, you could put, they're hoping that if they put Mickey Mouse up against Donald Trump, that he would lose. I mean, you got all these people that are going to run. Every liberal Democrat, and there's about 20 names being bannered about at this particular point, every liberal Democrat is now going to try to out-liberal the other one. And what we're going to learn in the next year, frankly, in the first 100 days, is that the left wing Democratic Party has become the radical leftist socialist party of America. And in spite of all of this, you know, things have a funny way of balancing out. And as you watch them go forward day by day, attack after attack, you see that they'll do nothing to serve the interests of the American people. You see that it's going to be run on a personality, one personality, Donald Trump. And then you're going to begin to ask yourself the question. It'll become obvious. What are they offering to do for us? What are they offering the American people? What are they going to do to improve our lives? How does this help my economic situation? How does this help me get a first house or a better job or a better lifestyle or college money for my kids or retirement money? And then you're going to say to yourself, they're not doing anything on any of these key issues that are important to you and your family. Then you're going to say, okay, well, we had Officer Singh killed over the weekend, and they still won't protect the border. And you'll ask yourself, well, they're not making Officer Singh families more secure. They're not making anybody more secure in any way, shape, matter, or form. And then you got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Oh, now she's threatening to run for president. By the way, while misquoting the Constitution, you know, she was participating in a photo shoot for Politico at Harvard last Thursday, engaged in a conversation with the photographer, Politico's Playbook reported. And according to the recap, the new rising star of all things socialist, leftist, liberal, Democrat, Ocasio-Cortez, is now threatening to run for president, but she actually misquoted the Constitution's specific qualifications for high office. You can't even run for president for another 6 years. The photographer had to tell Ocasio-Cortez. Now, she's 29 years old. Constitution, as most in this program understands, requires that the U.S. president be at least 35 years old. Well, not for a long time, thank God. Now I can't run. Thanks for telling me that I can't run. And although we've been, you know, joking at some of the other things that she has said, you know, we've been, you know, the Equal Rights Amendment hasn't been passed yet. The Constitution technically says you can't run unless you're 35. But Politico noted the Constitution, Article 2, defines the qualifications for president. Well, they don't use a gendered pronoun as Ocasio-Cortez claimed. The Constitution says any person, no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. Now, she did, to her credit, I guess you got to give credit where credit's due. She became the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. She's been in the news for a lot of her gaffes. She made headlines over a different constitutional blunder, and she proved she didn't know what the three branches of government are, but yet she's the rising star of the Democratic Party. If we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, she said. Three chambers of Congress. Imagine if Donald Trump talked about three chambers of Congress. Imagine if Donald Trump made any type of mistake like this. Anyway, in other 2020 news, now remember, Elizabeth Warren said she was not going to run. Well, now she's on her way to Iowa, and now she's running. And she's going to try an out left-wing Bernie Sanders, who's now in a bit of trouble himself. But that's just the first. Sitting on the sidelines, I bet the longest is going to be crazy Uncle Joe Biden. And if I had to put a guess today, who do you think the candidates will be for the Democrats in 2020? I think it's going to be crazy Uncle Joe. And he's going to pick somebody like Beto, Bozo, O'Rourke. That would be my first guy. You know, who do you think? Don't shake your head. It's radio.
It's not diverse enough. They're going to go down. They need a woman or they need a minority in there. I think it's going to be Warren as the VP.
You think Elizabeth Warren and crazy Uncle Joe's?
Because Crazy Uncle Joe is that blue dog Democrat. They're going to try to play that up, and they need that crazy Bernie Sanders left people, and they want the woman. They're going to pull Warren.
I don't think it's an accident, knowing how the Democratic Party works and knowing the phony Russian dossier they used and knowing how Bernie was cheated so badly the last time, that the story now came out about Bernie Sanders. In an interview Wednesday, he said he had no knowledge of multiple allegations that members of his 2016 presidential campaign harassed and discriminated against female campaign workers. Anyway, apparently he was on fake news CNN. And Bernie Sanders said that his campaign for the Democratic nomination, which he lost to Hillary Clinton because she cheated, she rigged the whole system. It's always been a question to me why the FBI never demanded to see those computers. Always been an interesting question that they said they're going to send the computers to their own forensics people. Because I got to imagine that people that worked for the DNC at the time were pretty pissed off when they discovered the whole thing was rigged. And remember, Donna Brazile revealed that Hillary was in charge of all of the DNC money and had to make that phone call to Bernie Sanders and said, yeah, it was rigged. And that, in fact, they had cheated. And how is it that me, as a conservative, I seem more concerned about the cheating of the Democratic Party in their primary than they do? That's why the whole cheating in the general election, you know, the phony, fake, fraudulent dossier, unverified, uncorroborated, the fix-in by the DOJ and the FBI to prevent Hillary Clinton from getting what we would all get, an indictment. All of this means something, because you lose this, you're losing the country. All right, as we continue our conversation, who is the likely Democrat in 2020? Washington State Governor Inslee is now running for president. He's one big bore. He ought to make that very interesting. So you're probably going to look at, like, Beto, Bernie. You got, let's see, we now have Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, crazy Uncle Joe Biden, Andrew Gillum, perhaps, big star of the Democratic Party down in Florida.
Yeah. I think what's going to happen is...
What about Spartacus? What about Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris.
Why do you not like when I say Kamala Harris?
Because that's not her name.
Well, I don't call...
Her name is Kamala.
I call Beto Bozo. I mean, that's not his name.
I mean, as shocking as it is on the 15th time you say it, but yes, it's
And
Beto.
I think the president was very funny in saying Pocahontas. This was great. This came out in the news yesterday.
I think Pocahontas is too much of a compliment for her.
Well, no. Elizabeth Warren now is comparing the scrutiny of her DNA test, which showed it's likely 1,024 Indian that she has as her nationality. Now she's claiming that if you talk about it, it's the equivalent of birtherism with Barack Obama. How's that going to work for her?
Well, I mean, she had a beer on camera, so she's cool forever. Really, you can't go anywhere but up now. I mean, you know, she's just like, she's, I mean, it's like you saw Beto do it, you saw Ocasio do it. It's just not the same when she does it.
There's,
you know,
also the cool video of Elizabeth Warren in a quiet car.
Yeah, the quiet, happy car inside, what, Amtrak?
Something like that.
By the way, the quiet car, just a fun fact, everybody.
Oh, boy.
A little information for our audience. Boy. The quiet car is not a requirement to be quiet. It's a mere suggestion. So all those people who get up in your grill and they tell you to be quiet because you're in the quiet car, you can tell them that you don't have to be quiet. I rode Amtrak the other day with a very nice man who worked for Amtrak, and he told me that legally they are not allowed to tell anybody to be quiet. It's a mere suggestion.
Then why do you have a quiet car if people are going to be as loud as they are in every other car?
Well, you would hope that people would see the giant signs that say you've now entered the quiet car, but there's always some knucklehead.
I don't mind taking the train to Washington. I don't mind it at all. I'll take the train to Washington, D.C.
I mind it. It's very uncomfortable when you're on it.
Why is it uncomfortable when I'm on it?
I don't know. Could it be the line down the aisle to take a picture with you?
Okay. I try to be nice and polite, and, you know, I got first
You're
class.
You're always nice and polite, hence the line.
I got first class tickets. I upgraded everybody so we all could be together.
I wasn't on that trip.
Oh, because you had to go early, I know.
I went early and I stayed late, like all good employees.
So we have now, if you're fishing for compliments, forget it.
I never fish. I come right out and ask for them. I'm very subtle.
Okay, I give compliments at the end of every year. You're 3 weeks out of your Christmas bonus. That's my compliment for the year. That, to me, is your report card. If you get a bonus and how much the bonus is, that's your report card. Did you get a good bonus this year?
My report card was straight A's.
Straight A's. Ethan?
Summa cum laude.
Very good.
We got Mr. Wonderful back there.
You got a solid B+. Solid B plus.
No, that means are you got to be
solid B plus.
That means
you're
you got a B plus.
You're going backwards. You're going backwards next year. All right, 800-941 Sean. We'll get to your calls at the bottom of this half hour. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. News roundup, information overload, call time. By the way, I gotten such tremendous feedback on Hannity Watch, because it really became transparent to me. I did not watch. Although Linda was annoying me every day, keeping me in the loop and sending me...
I'm sorry? I don't think I understood the words coming out of your mouth.
Let me repeat them so you can hear them very clearly. Linda was annoying me over the vacation, but
annoying you?
Because she kept sending me news stories that she thought I'd want to save for 2 weeks ago to talk about when I got back.
You're a very dedicated individual.
You're a very dedicated individual. And I heard you had the greatest vacation of your life. Is that true?
Amazing.
The best ever.
The best ever.
And it wasn't at that timeshare thing that you bought 25 years ago?
I'll do that soon.
You're going to go to the timeshare?
I'm getting old. I got to hurry up and get back. Well, I mean, 25 years ago. My God.
AARP is calling.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have her. What you need to do is you really need to... call the timeshare people, Karen and company, over at Lone Star Transfer and get out of it like I've been telling you to do. I thought you started the process.
Listen, I started the process. Here's the problem. I have this boss.
Boss.
He is all over me. I can never get my work done.
You know what that sounds like? I have a boss that's all over me.
I was in
you're
the
making
middle
me sound
sentence.
Like a you make me sound like a creepy
boss. You know what the
boss.
Problem is?
Reclaiming my time.
I am reclaiming my time.
I'm reclaiming mine.
The Me Too movement is just messing everybody up. You know, sometimes a simple phrase is exactly what it is.
A boss that's all over me. I'm so demanding as a boss.
You are. You're a problem. But anyway, so wow. You know, I may want to go back
to
Mexico.
That is so mean. Take it back.
I'm never taking it back.
I am.
The only thing I'm taking back is my time in this segment because you keep asking
me
questions.
You have more freedom
all over me.
To do your job.
Me?
Yes.
Freedom?
Everybody that works for me, you either do your job.
Really?
Or I don't keep you.
That's right.
I can't sit here and babysit, 100 people that work for me every day. I expect that when I need you, you're there. I expect the job to be done.
Have I ever let you down?
No, but I don't have to tell
you. Say it again.
Have I ever told
Have
you?
Have I ever let you down?
Once.
Oh! When?
I'll call your mother and I'll put her on
you
the air and tell the story.
You better call my mother. My mother's going to defend me on this.
Your mother will not defend you on this. And you know she
you
took
were
my
wrong
side.
That day.
I was.
Oh,
I
you
did
were
not
so,
deserve
you,
what I got that day.
You better
from
tread
you.
Lightly,
you
my
better
friend.
Tread
your
lightly.
Feet are going to burn on these salty
your
rocks.
Your mother will be on my side as she was that day. Now the
first of all, my mother is
all right,
not
stay
on your
focused
side,
for a second.
I'm focused.
Stay, all right. The focus is you do your job. I can't tell 100 people,
ladies and gentlemen.
I can't tell people, all 100 people that work for me, what to do every day. I can't.
Yeah, I do that.
So well, that's part of your job. I don't micromanage anybody. I don't want to micromanage people. Now, I've always said, if you work for me, I don't fire people.
You fire yourself.
They fire themselves. They get a warning. They get a second warning, and then they get the goodbye. It's that simple. I don't want to fire people. People have rent to pay, car payments,
I'm
house
start
payments.
I'm going to a t-shirt company with all your isms.
All right. Let me get back to my point. So on my vacation, you had your best vacation. You're sending me. You were trying to be thoughtful, so I really give you credit for it.
I was trying to be thoughtful. What does that mean?
I was trying to check out. I was trying to turn away from news. But back to the point, I learned something on this vacation. And it just, I've been saying the destroy Trump media. I've been saying, the deep state. I've been talking about Democrats and the only things they want to do. The problem is all of these groups, it is deeper than I thought. This is now it beyond psychosis, pathological derangement. They hate him. The media hates this president. The Democrats hate this president. If he cured cancer, they'd hate this president. The deep state has hated him long before we ever knew that they hated him. They're all out to destroy him, and weak Republicans and never Trumpers also. And what I've come to realize is that there is nobody in the news in this country. I don't care if it's print. I don't care if it's the broadcast networks. I don't care if it's fake news, CNN or conspiracy TV, MSNBC. All of them hate this president, and every second, minute, hour of every 24-hour day, they want to destroy this man. So there's a whole opening to do news. Every question, every topic we're going to deal with this year, I'm going to be asking, is this good for America? Is it good for your family? Is it good for the economy? Is it good for national security? And then we might even offer solutions. And we're probably going to have to buck up these weak-spined Republicans that can't handle even the slightest amount of pressure in life. Could you imagine any one of these guys, most of these guys, ever doing this job with the amount of crap we take every day and the amount of criticism we get every hour of every day? They couldn't handle it. They're so pathetically weak. And it's like, well, we watched the swearing in of all these new people today. And the thing is, just count the seconds before the leadership goes to them and says, well, we're going to need your help on something that I know you've made a promise to your district. And they'll be breaking promises by the end of the day today in Washington. You know, people that said they weren't going to vote for Pelosi. Oh, Speaker Pelosi swearing in the House members. She brought them in and said, what do you need? What do you want? You want money for your district. Oh, you want to sit on this committee or that committee or this subcommittee. I can make it happen if you vote for me for speaker. Otherwise, we're going to put you in the least desirable committee assignments and we'll never give you a penny for your district, nor will we raise money for your reelection 2 years from now. They're not even already they're thinking about their reelection. They don't serve people. So neither does the media and the deep state abusing power. They're not serving the people either. They're abusing the powerful tools of intelligence we give them. So my plan is that we're going to have Hannity watch on the deep state, Hannity watch border security, Hannity watch on the government shutdown, Hannity watch on what's good for the economy, Hannity watch on what's good for national security, and everything else we could think of. Now, maybe it's a little too Hannity focused. It's not about me, but we're going to be watching out. Somebody in this country has got to say, put the American people first and put the country first. And the fact that these five groups that hate the president, they give him credit for nothing. I went through his top 10 accomplishments yesterday. They don't care. They don't care. And that means the people in the country suffer. All right, let's go to Joe in Georgia. What's up, Joe? How are you? Welcome to the program.
Sean, love your show. I was so disappointed in Mitt Romney for attacking Donald Trump. Trump's been so nice to him. It just made me more determined to do everything I can to help reelect Trump in 2020 because I think he's a super president, and I appreciate all your support of Trump. But I really was disappointed in Mitt Romney, and I'm sure you were too.
You know, I always liked Mitt Romney and his family. I did. I thought he was a good guy, and I thought they blew it. I thought that was an election that could have been won. I don't know who advised him, but I think he got bad advice going into the second and third debates. But that's neither here nor there. You know, but him, well, he does this big speech how Trump's not a conservative. Trump governs conservatively. Then he wants Trump's endorsement. Then he says, yeah, the president's getting a lot of good things done. Then he gets elected, and then it feels like he can go after Trump again. I don't know what to think of it.
He's the best president in history, in my opinion, and I really appreciate so much your strong support on him. Sean, you're his number one supporter, and I really appreciate
you know what,
that.
You know what? Let me just take the personality out of it. Everything the president's fighting for, lower taxes, less regulation, energy independence, originalists on the Supreme Court. Everything that he's fighting for, I have been advocating my entire 30 years on the radio and 23 years on Fox. Why? Because these things are good for the country. And they're obviously, since they've been implemented, are now paying dividends for the American people. All right, San Diego, we say hi to Kogo Radio. Kevin is standing by. Kevin, Happy New Year. Glad you called, sir.
Happy New Year to you, too, Sean. Can you hear me okay?
Hear you great. What's going on?
Well, you know, I don't pretend to know a lot of things about everything that goes on in this government. I'm not privy to all the information. But one thing I do know, when you're talking border security, I was a San Diego police officer for almost 32 years. I worked patrol down at the border. I worked on the Border Crime Prevention Unit. If you ever read the book Lines and Shadows by Joe Wambaugh, that was pretty much what we're talking about, walking
right.
The dark canyons at night.
Right.
I worked as a narcotics detective for 2.5 years, violent crime task force, and we worked for the last 24 years. I retired as a chief pilot in the air support unit. Needless to say, with our proximity to the border of Mexico, Tijuana, a lot of what we did had to do with border issues. Now, first, you know, for the most part, I'm telling you, those Hispanic people, the people that they're all just, they're very, very nice, hardworking people. But that doesn't mean, in my opinion.
Let me tell you what shouldn't happen.
What's that?
What shouldn't have happened is this legal immigrant that desired to be a cop, this Corporal Singh with his five-month-old son, shouldn't have been gunned down by somebody that was in this country illegally and somebody that had already been in the justice system and somebody that should have been handed over to ICE, but Democrats want to get rid of ICE, somebody that should have been deported. You know, at some point, we've got to say, if you defy the laws of the land and you assist people in lawbreaking, at some point, you hold some of the responsibility here. You know, is the all right, they don't want to pay for the border wall. Can we get Nancy Pelosi to put forward a bill so that Corporal Singh's five-month-old son is cared for throughout his entire life into adulthood and his college paid for? Never mind the fact that he won't see his father. He won't remember his father. The kid's only 5 months old. And he doesn't get to see his father for all those years. And it was preventable. This is the problem. These crimes are preventable. And we don't do anything. And Democrats are playing politics because 4 years ago, they sounded just like Donald Trump, if not more harsh. That's Obama. That's Hillary. That's Schumer. That's Pelosi. All of them supported funding and building a border wall. Now they give him nothing. Why? Because they don't want to give the president a win? How about you look out? What's the right thing for the country? Forget what Trump wants. What is good for the country? Will we stop human trafficking? Yes. Will we stop drug trafficking? Yes. Will the country be safer and more secure? Yes. Well, why don't we ask those questions instead of who gets the credit? Amazing what you can accomplish in life if you don't ask for the credit. What?
Can I tell you one thing? So today when Pelosi was getting sworn in and all these guys were all giddy because they were taking back the House because our party couldn't get it together, Hakeem Jeffries got up and he started talking about the fact that they couldn't wait to deny President Trump everything he wanted to protect Americans because they stand behind the Dreamers. And I thought,
wait a minute, the president offered to help the Dreamers as part of the deal.
Right. And the problem is that they won't compromise. The divisiveness that Romney wants to talk about is from the other party, which I guess is why he was on CNN all night and wrote his op-ed in WAPO.
Well, I asked my team on television, and I don't know if you've been trying as well. But we've been trying to get Romney on the program. He doesn't want to come on my show.
Oh, no, I won't try for that. I'm not interested in hearing anything he has to say.
Okay, but I'm asking
are
you
to
try.
Are you
interested? Yeah, I want to talk
to him.
Yeah,
oh,
I would
okay.
like to talk to him.
Well, I'll be sure to reach out to him.
Well, I think he should explain himself.
Give him a little ring-a-ling.
Yeah, give a little ring-a-ling. Is that what we call him?
Hey, Mitt. What's going on, brother?
All right, let's go. Scott in Staten Island, New York. The all-new AM 710 WOR, the talk of New York, New Jersey, Long Island. How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, Sean. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. What's happening?
Nothing much. I'd just like to say thank you for everything that you do for our troops and for the first responders. My father was in the 101st Airborne, so believe me, I know the military. But I just heard what Rand Paul said. So nobody's going to get in trouble for anything that what they did to the president. And I was going to ask you, you know, what about Nunez and Jordan with their investigations? Is that going to continue?
Well, it's now going to be stopped in the House, but it's going to continue. I had Lindsey Graham on Hannity last night, and it's going to continue in the Senate.
Okay.
And Lindsey was very straightforward. He said, look, if they want to go tit for tat as it relates to investigations, we'll go tit for tat. Because I'm telling you, well, look, we also have a lot of other balls in the air. You still have Inspector General Horowitz. You have John Huber. You have the Senate is picking up where the House left off. And they've already done good work. Grassley Graham, their memo said the bulk of information was the Steele dossier that Clinton paid for. So we're going to get to the bottom of FISA abuse. We're going to get to the bottom. We saw Catherine Herridge's report I mentioned earlier. The FBI had great internal conflict within the ranks about whether the laws were broken or not. So, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of it as soon as possible. 800-941-SEAN. All right, that's going to wrap things up for tonight. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, we've got issues developing with both China and Russia. And, of course, our Border Watch segment, our government shutdown segment, Hannity Watch, at 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Hope you'll join us then. This is a short week. Tomorrow's Friday. I feel like I worked a whole week. All right. I'm kidding. It wasn't a whole week. All right. We'll see you tonight. Hannity Watch 2019. News you won't get anywhere else. And back here tomorrow.